The Old Testament scripture lesson today is from Proverbs chapter 23, and I chose this because it's Father's Day. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. In our New Testament lesson is the final part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I entitled the sermon this morning, Three in One. And since it's Trinity Sunday, you may think that I did that in order to address the Trinity. Well, that's only partially true. I chose the sermon title in order to address three subjects. It is Trinity Sunday. It's also Father's Day. And it's the final sermon in the series on 1 Thessalonians. So, three in one. First, it is Trinity Sunday on the liturgical calendar. Now remember, there is a church liturgical calendar. And 50 days after Easter, we celebrate Pentecost, which was last Sunday. And then the Sunday after Pentecost is Trinity Sunday. We remind ourselves that we worship one God who manifests himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a difficult subject to define. The word Trinity actually never appears in the Bible, although the subject matter is there. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus said we should make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to his disciples, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." In this particular passage, God the Son speaks about God the Father and the promise of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Now, when I taught confirmation classes for 50 years, I tried to help young people understand this very difficult concept of the Trinity. And I used the illustration of an egg. Now, it's not a perfect illustration. In fact, many would call it modalism, which is actually a heresy. But I explained that the egg has a shell, it has a white, and it has a yolk. It has the yellow. It's one, but it's three. Now, again, it's not a perfect illustration, but it helps us get our heads around this subject of the Trinity. Another illustration that I used with the kids is that I am John and Fanny Loudon's son. I'm Joyce Loudon's husband. I'm Andrew, Amanda, and Nathan Loudon's father. I'm one, but three. Well, again, those are roles, and that's not exactly the right concept, but it helps us understand a little bit. One of my seminary professors, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, wrote, "The doctrine of the Trinity does not fully explain the mysterious character of God. Rather, it sets the boundaries outside of which we must not step. It defines the limits of our finite reflection. God is one, and in a different sense, God is three. God is one in essence and three in person." So first, today is Trinity Sunday, and we worship one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But second, today is Father's Day. Now, this is not a special day on the liturgical church calendar, but it is on the regular calendar. I've found through the years that Father's Day doesn't quite hold the importance as Mother's Day. As a pastor, I learned very quickly that if you failed to preach a Mother's Day sermon, you were in serious jeopardy. But if you failed to address Father's Day, well, that was forgivable. Joyce and I were here for Mother's Day, and Dr. John Fullerton asked the question, "How many of you remember what your mother always told you?" And I had to chuckle, because there was something that my mother told me from the time I was 3 years old until she was in her 90s and I was a pastor. Now, if you want to know what that was, I'll be glad to tell you after the service. But today's Father's Day, and I want to ask you, what was it that your father said to you that you always remember? The thing that my dad said to me over and over and over again, I mean, every week of my life, was get your education. Now, my father's reason for that was because he dropped out of school after the eighth grade. He worked in a steel mill, he worked on the railroad, and then he worked for many, many years in the trucking industry. He started out as a truck driver during the Great Depression, actually an assistant driver, then he rose to truck driver. And then later he became the dispatcher of the company, the traffic manager, and by the time I came along, later in their marriage, in their life, he was the vice president of the company. He was well respected in our city. He was president of the Lions Club. He was on the board of the YMCA. He was active in the Shriners. He was in the traffic club. He was in the Elks Club. I remember the Republican Party, when I was a boy, asked him to run for mayor. But he was embarrassed that he only had an eighth grade education, even though he was an excellent business person. So he said to my sister over and over and to me again, get your education. And we did. My sister went to Muskingum College in Ohio. I went to Westminster College in Pennsylvania. And we did our father proud. My sister became a teacher. And of course, I then went on to seminary and became a minister. Now, I loved my dad. He was a good father. He was very active in our United Presbyterian Church, and he attended the Berean Sunday School class. My mother was a devout Bible student. My father was always the one who organized the Sunday School class socials. He was a hail fellow well met. My mother often said that my father's true religion was sports. She might have been correct. My dad loved sports. And some of my fondest memories are of him taking me to Pittsburgh Pirate baseball games, which he did often. He always watched sports on television or listened on the transistor radio, if you remember those days. He loved football and basketball and baseball and boxing. And I think he thought he had died and gone to heaven when ESPN came on the air and he could watch sports 24/7 on television. Now, I realize that not everyone had a father with whom they were close. But perhaps you had a grandfather or an uncle or a significant man in your life who was like a father to you. I remember Dan Ryan, my scoutmaster when I was in Boy Scouts. He was the first one who seemed to find leadership ability in me and encouraged me along that line. I remember the night he asked me to become senior patrol leader of our 100-member Boy Scout troop. I was shocked because I didn't know that I had any leadership ability. I attribute that to Dan Ryan. I remember Dr. Addison Leach, my advisor in seminary. There I was, 21 years old, away from home really for the first time, off in Massachusetts. And I would stop by his office probably every week my first year in seminary, and he always had time to talk with me, listen to me. He was a former seminary president of Pittsburgh Seminary. He was the author of many theological books. He was one of the most famous preachers in the Presbyterian Church at that time, but he always made time to listen to me and to talk with me. He was like a father to me. Well, today is Father's Day. It's a good day to honor and remember our fathers and the men who have been fathers to us, like fathers. Say a prayer of thanks for them today. If they're still living, give them a call. I wish I could call my dad. He passed away the first year I came to this church. I knew if I could call him, we would talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates and how they're doing, but we'd also talk about Aaron Rodgers becoming the new quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That'd be a far stretch for my dad to think about that. Now, third, let's consider this final section of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to follow along. The pastors began this series. Actually, I think it was Ed Diaz who had the first sermon in this series just after Easter. Now, here's a quick summary of 1 Thessalonians by my friend, the late Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He wrote that 1 Thessalonians is divided into two main sections. In chapters 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul remembers how the church was born, how the church was nurtured, and how the church was established. Then in chapters 4 and 5, Paul exhorts the church to walk in holiness, in harmony, in honesty, in hope, and today in this section, in helpfulness. Now, if you'd like that outline, I'd be glad to give it to you after the service. Let's look quickly at 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 28. As Dr. Wiersbe wrote, this passage is about helpfulness. This is practical stuff. This isn't heavy theology like the subject of the Trinity. It's easy to understand, and it's perhaps not as easy to implement in one's life. So, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish them, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Respect those who labor among you. Evidently, the Apostle Paul had learned that there was tension in the church in Thessalonica, and he encouraged them to respect the leaders, the elders, the pastors who were over them. Now, having been a pastor for 50 years, I'm well aware that not everyone agrees with decisions that the session made or the pastors have made. And that's okay, because this is a Presbyterian congregation and one is allowed to disagree, but to do so in love. Your pastors work hard. They care about you. Please don't talk behind their backs. Please don't stir up problems. If you disagree with the pastors or with the session, go and talk with them or talk with the elders. and express your opinions, and then listen to their opinions as well. Now, the next verse says, be at peace among yourselves. Don't we need that in our world and in the church as well? Not just Ukraine and Russia, Gaza and Israel, now Los Angeles and Chicago and other major cities. What a mess. We need the peace of God. In verse 14, we read that some of the church members were shirking their responsibilities. And Paul said, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Now, I admit I've never really had a problem being idle, just the opposite. I've always been kind of a workaholic. But I do have a problem with being patient. Paul is giving the church its standing orders. As you look at that list, how do you measure up? Here's some more marching orders. See that no one repays evil for evil. Always seek to do good to others. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. These are very simple but important standards. A great pastor in the Presbyterian Church, the late Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie, who was chaplain of the United States Senate, wrote, there are seven steps to stagnation in the church or one's spiritual life. Here they are. We've never done it that way before. No, we're not ready for that. We're doing okay without that. We tried that once. It didn't work. It cost too much. That's not our responsibility. And, you know, it just won't work. Ever heard those phrases? Ever said them yourselves? Now, in contrast, Paul wrote, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, hold fast to what is good, and abstain from evil. These are seven steps to spontaneity. They will help your spiritual life, and they'll help the spiritual life of the congregation as well. Well, now we come to a benediction, verse 23 and following. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. And then Paul says, brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and the sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Well, Paul concludes with a couple of benedictions, an encouraging peace, even writes words about a holy kiss. Now, that could be interpreted as a friendly hug or a hearty handshake. After all, we are Presbyterians, you know, God's frozen chosen. So he asked them also to pray for him and to have this letter read in the congregation. Well, that's enough for today. Our God is a triune God. The Heavenly Father loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be our Savior. And then God the Father and God the Son have sent the Holy Spirit as our guide and comforter. It's also Father's Day. We give thanks for our earthly fathers and those who were like fathers to us. And today, thirdly, we've wrapped up Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, in which God calls us to rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, and be at peace with one another. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you glad you were here today? Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.